Dear saints who share an inheritance in the kingdom of the Son. Here we are on Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, and with a name like that, Christ the King, you'd expect to be celebrating the exalted and glorious King, the King before whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Everyone will confess that he is Lord. That's the King you'd expect to be talking about on Christ the King Sunday. So maybe you were a bit surprised and confused at the gospel lesson this morning. A much different picture was painted. A man hanging on a cross, seemingly powerless because he had been nailed to that cross. Everyone standing by, mocking him, calling him to save himself, because above his head there hung a sign that said, "This is the King of the Jews." So as the onlookers mocked him, taunted him, asking him to save himself if he truly was who he claimed to be, if he truly was a king, we look at that king hanging on the cross, and we think, what kind of king is this? Here he is dying at the hands of men. Doesn't really seem like a king. Maybe those chief priests were right when they said that the sign should have said, "This man claims to be the King of the Jews." Our portion from the book of Colossians today puts into perspective that crucifixion scene and tells us just exactly what kind of king this is. He's the King of creation. He's the King of sacrifice. That's what kind of king this is. The whole scene puzzles us a little bit because we have our own ideas of what we think a king should look like. We had all the children tell us what a king should look like. He should be valiant and brave and handsome and have a scepter and a big crown. Everybody wants to be king. When a king walks into the room, everyone will know he is there. That's our idea of a king. Maybe since the last live-action reboot of The Lion King, you've got some little kings that prance around the house singing Prince Simba's little song, "I just can't wait to be king." Simba's idea of a king makes a lot of sense to us. No one's saying, "Do this." No one's saying, "Be there." No one's saying, "Stop that." No one's saying, "See here." Free to run around all day. Free to do things all my way. I just can't wait to be king. That's the kind of king we'd like to be. That's the kind of kingdom where we would be ruler and we think we'd be happy. And so, just like little Simba, we go running off the first chance we get to the dark, scary elephant graveyard. And we get there and we think, "Man, this is so cool. I welcome the wild side. I laugh in the face of danger." How did things turn out for little Simba and his pal? Found himself staring at a pack of wild, ravenous hyenas waiting to be devoured. So how does that story look for us? Book of Colossians tells us that once you were alienated from God because of your evil behavior. See, we were born into this world rebellious sinners that did not want the king that we had. So every chance we get, we go running off away from our king, looking to become our own king. You hear that little king voice roaring inside your heart? Does it sound like this? "This is my kingdom, and in my kingdom, my family will serve me, and they will not disturb me. I will sit on my throne watching football. and I shall not be disturbed in my kingdom. What does the roar of the queen sound like? In my kingdom, I will have nothing but the best that the river of Amazon Prime can offer me, and my kingdom will abound with limitless treasure. In that kingdom, I shall be king, queen, and have whatever I want. Where does that mighty mutiny land us? When we take innocent things and we use them to dethrone God and put ourselves on that throne in His place to do what we want, where does that mighty mutiny land us? Neck deep in the dominion of darkness with a devil, the roaring lion, and a pack of evil angels that are a whole lot more real than those hyenas. And there we realize we're no king at all. We're just dead meat. So when we finally come to realize that we wouldn't make any kind of king at all, then we better go back and take a better look at the king that we had to start with. Book of Colossians tells us he is the king of creation. He is the image of the invisible God. How is that possible? How do you have the image of something that's invisible? Well, we can't see God, but Jesus, the Son of God, took on a human body. And so we get to see him, the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. Jesus was with God at the beginning. There was no time when he was not. And yet, isn't it kind of interesting that we call him the firstborn? We call him the Son. So the Father and the Son are really the same age. They go all the way back to eternity. But that's their relationship to each other, a Father and a Son. And this Son is the firstborn over all of creation. And this is why. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. The Gospel of John tells us this same thing. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. This is not an heir, a king who assumes the throne without doing anything. This is Jesus, the King, who was there all along building this kingdom with his Father, building it by his mighty power, and building it for himself. This is the King who holds all things together. Some people will tell you to look at this world and tell them how there can possibly be someone, say a God, who is ruling this world. They say, look at everything that is happening. There's natural disasters that kill thousands of people, and there's wars that kill millions of people, and there's poverty, and there's crime, and there's hunger. If there is someone ruling this world, then they're doing a terrible job. Our King, in fact, does hold all things together. In spite of the rebellious subjects that he has, you might imagine it could be a pretty difficult job for any one of us if we were king. And so we don't necessarily understand how this king holds all things together, but it's a testament to his gracious mercy that he doesn't just wipe every one of us out and start all over again. He gives us this time of grace to learn about him once again and to come back to him as our king. So as we look at the king of creation and we look at the world that we live in, we struggle to understand what is so far above our pay grade. This is the conclusion that we come to. What kind of king is this? He's the king. He can't be our king. And so we dethrone our God with the way that we think about him. That's exactly what the Old Testament people did when they came to their God who had brought them out of Egypt, and they wanted to replace him. And they asked him to his face to give them another human king so that they could be like all the nations of the earth, to have a king to rule them and go to battle for them. So God gave them what they asked for. That's exactly why you better be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. So God gave them human kings. To start off with, it was pretty good. Life was good under King David and King Solomon. And then after those men came a string of king after king of the worst and most wicked and rebellious men recorded in the Bible. So the people got what they begged for. They wanted a human king instead of God as their ruler, and they got it. But in all of this, God was gracious, and he worked into his plan a way that he would once again become his people's king. He promised this king through his prophets. He foretold it long ago. And then, in what we're going to celebrate in just about a month, he brought that king into the world. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The firstborn son of all creation would now be born into creation as a true human being. We'll celebrate his birth coming at Christmas. And as we look at that king's birth, as he's placed in a manger, in a stable, with donkeys around, we think, what kind of king is this? This is the way that God would bring his people back to himself. This is the king that came into the world and set aside everything. The king of creation came into this world and became the king of sacrifice, as he laid it all aside for you and was born into this world. He laid aside his glory and majesty as king in heaven, and he came to this earth as the lowliest of all men, with no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. This king came not to dole out punishments and to give orders, not to be served. This king came to serve. This king came to reconcile his people back to himself and back to his Father. Sure, kings usually are the ones who make peace treaties with other nations, protect the people. But this is a king, the king of sacrifice, who reconciles his people using his own blood. What kind of king makes peace with his own blood? This is the king of sacrifice. So this was the king who would bring his people back to the Father. This is not the king that we expected, or maybe even the king that we wanted. He didn't look like what we think he should look. And yet he was the king that accomplished it all, as God sent him to save us from the devil, the roaring lion, and his pack of evil angels. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We ask that question once again: what kind of king is this? This is a king who brings his people back to his kingdom by offering his own life for his subjects, for his servants, for his slaves who ran away. The king sacrifices himself for his people. What kind of king is that? He's the king of creation. He's the one who brought us redemption, who bought us back from the devil and brought us back from the dominion of darkness. What kind of king is this? He's the king of creation, the king of sacrifice. What a kind king this truly is. This is no king to be embarrassed about. This is a king to worship and adore above all things. So as we look again at that crucifixion scene, that is not the last time that that king was heard from. If it was, he would just be another dethroned king that was killed. Yet this king went where no king has ever gone before. He went all the way to death, where he conquered sin and the devil and death itself, and he came back. Thanks be to God, he has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, our conquering King. So in all things, the King has truly become supreme again. The King of creation became the King of sacrifice, so that he might rule in our hearts once again through faith, so that he might rule over death forever. This king will come back, and on that day, everyone will see when he walks into the room. This will be the king of glory that we expected, and just as surely as his disciples saw and felt those nail holes in his hands, so that king, that risen king, will come back on the last day, valiant and victorious, the head of the church. And the head will not rise and leave his members dead. That king will come back for you. The church, the body of all believers in Christ. The king will come back and bring you to his kingdom at last, where you will be family in Christ's glorious kingdom. What kind of king is this? The king of creation, the king of sacrifice. What a kind king this truly is. Lord, your kingdom come. Amen.